You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Last week, I talked to Belinda Castles from Consumer NZ on the impact of pervasive food and beverage advertising. And I've got a little clip from last week to remind you a bit about what she had to say.
Well, obviously the Fair Trading Act has requirements that ads can't be misleading or deceptive. And then the advertising codes, which are voluntary codes, they have some guidelines. But it's a bit of a blurred, line really. And I think when we're talking about advertising, and particularly to children and some other groups, they are vulnerable. They don't understand what advertising is, what the intent of it is. They don't recognise sales tactics, because at the end of the day, the companies are doing this marketing and advertising to sell more products. So, you're dealing with audiences that might not be aware of that.
Yeah, speaking on children and vulnerable communities, what are the rules and impact on them?
Well, the impacts are huge on them because, as I mentioned, depending on the age of the child, they don't recognise advertising. There's really strong evidence with regards to children that this unhealthy food marketing does lead to increased childhood obesity rates. And in New Zealand, we have some pretty shocking statistics with child obesity and with poor dental health as well. So there's really strong evidence that we need to be doing something about this, because these communities need looking after. They need protecting.
What are some other vulnerable communities that might also be impacted by food advertising?
Well, there's some of the communities in the lower decile areas. There's some evidence that they are targeted by more advertising, so obviously they're being bombarded more often. There's possibly communities that English might not be their first language. There's a whole host of communities that aren't just restricted to children. And when we're looking at, say, advertising that might be using celebrities or sports stars, I mean, some of these vulnerable communities may be particularly influenced by them as well.
Is there much research in the area of how advertising impacts, say, people with intellectual disabilities or mental health conditions? Because I haven't been able to find that much research that investigates that area.
I'm not aware of any particular areas of research, but I know there is concern in the public health sector, for example, that when there's a lot of marketing of, say, alcohol products that are online, this is obviously more for adults, that those vulnerable communities may potentially purchase more products, and then alcohol has a non-effect on mental health and community harm as well. So there is real concern there, but possibly not as much of the evidence as there is with unhealthy food and obesity.
So that was Belinda Castles from Consumer New Zealand from our chat last week. And over the past week, that kōrero really kind of stuck with me, because I work in the disability sector, and how little research has been done into how food and beverage advertising affects these people's lives. I see it every single day in my job, and it's quite profound. And it's just one more thing that we don't consider with our privilege. It's not fair that there has to be extra barriers to living a healthy life for vulnerable people. And food and beverage advertising is one of those barriers, with very little research done about the impacts. But it's also important that those people within vulnerable communities get to speak up for themselves and have their experiences heard and considered. So today, I talked to David Corner, who works in self-advocacy at IHC. David has an intellectual disability and is on the autism spectrum. And he talked to me about how tricky advertising is to navigate. And I just want to note about what Belinda said about sports stars being extra influential and vulnerable communities being targeted more, because that comes up a bit with David as well. So I started off by asking David how food and beverage advertising is challenging to navigate as someone with an intellectual disability.
Yes, it is challenging for people with intellectual disabilities. There's lots of advertising involves sports stars or actors that are role models for people with intellectual disabilities to look up to and say, I want to be like them, and encourage them to buy their products. So it's almost, if you buy the product, you can always be like the next Dan Carter, Richie McCaw, Kane Williamson, TJ Perenara, Sophie Pascoe, and all those. Almost, people with intellectual disabilities look up to them as their role models.
And so do people, so do neurotypical people, but this space appears to be more challenging to navigate if you're part of a vulnerable community. Do you want to tell me a little bit about that?
I guess being part of a vulnerable community, lots of people who almost have a sheltered life in the community, maybe, you know, live with other people with intellectual disabilities and haven't really got out and seen the people, like, you know, don't really know of the All Blacks and the cricket team and things. So, yeah, I guess, you know, being vulnerable, it almost makes you want to reach out to the people.
Do you find advertising quite deceiving?
Yes, I do. And there's one particular ad which I think is almost should be withdrawn at the moment, and that's a Powerade ad, I think it is. You know, that says about, you know, TJ Perenara, who's from Wellington and plays for the Hurricanes, and All Blacks, who's been playing in Japan and off to go to league. You know, it says, have I done enough to wear the black jersey? And yet he's almost thinking of going to rugby league, and the black jersey is an All Black jersey.
And all intertwined there is the Powerade advertising, hey? And I talked to a lady last week from Consumer NZ who researches into advertising and about why it's deceiving. So she was saying that, you know, they might write on the outside, 99% fat-free or gives you lots of energy and protein and stuff, but they don't state how much sugar. It's all in the fine print on the back, the fine print, yes, can be quite deceiving.
Yes, well, it's almost, you know, hidden. You almost have to have a magnifying glass to look at it. You know, it's almost here so people don't bother. You know, we put it there because the company says it has to, so we'll make it as small as possible so people don't bother reading
it. Do you feel like you get enough support in navigating this advertising to make healthy food and beverage decisions for yourself?
Yes, I do, because, you know, I've got family and things, you know, have pointed out, you know, some of the things, and I'm just aware that, you know, I mean, had family and, you know, who are aware, got a sisters who work in the health service and things, and nurses and things, and I'm just aware, you know, of some of the ads like McDonald's and things, you know, too much of a good thing is bad for you, I guess.
Yeah, I suppose you're lucky to have that support around you. Do you feel like other people with an intellectual disability might struggle with that?
Some would, and some probably wouldn't be allowed that sort of stuff in the first place. You know, some might say, you know, I guess there's sort of control over some of the people. But, yeah, I think for lots of people, they may think, you know, they may not realise, you know, how bad it is for you to after a long time. You know, after they've taken it for a long time, then people might explain, and then they might realise, you know, gee, I wish I'd checked first or something.
Do you think there's enough support within the disability sector around making healthy choices and seeing through this sort of advertising?
That's a really interesting one. You know, you can have choices to make, you know, with your choices. But I remember a decision I made many years ago, you know, remember a staff person once saying, you know, what I should be doing with my money and things, you know, and I remember saying to them, well, you know, in the end, you can advise me what I want to do with my money, you know, but in the end, it's my decision. So I guess, you know, you can have as many choices, you know, like you can have the choice between McDonald's or Burger King, but, you know, just for example, then you can think, oh, stuff it, I'll just have Burger King or something.
Absolutely. It comes down to your choice, and it's always good to have support in your decision making, but it is definitely down to you in the end. Do you think there should be anything done, put in place maybe, to support people with learning disabilities around advertising?
Yeah. I think, you know, someone almost needs to go, you know, the healthy schools and things. I remember many years ago when I was young, you know, at school having the dentists and things, you know, used to come around and talk about the healthy food. But, you know, someone actually, you know, talk about what's really in the drinks and things, you know, break it all down, you know, on paper and things, you know, what it all means for people.
Yeah, more education.
Yeah, or point out, like, you know, I've seen ads sometimes when, you know, you compare a bottle of Coke to a glass of water and a glass of soft drink, like, you know, you almost see Coke no sugar or something. You almost think it's got no sugar. But sometimes it almost has more than the other stuff, but it's hidden or something.
Do you think there should be stricter rules for the people that are putting out this advertising, especially considering vulnerable communities?
Yes, I do, because in the end, you know, it comes down to the people's health and things. So, yeah, there has to be proper advertising, you know, actually really say what it means for people. You know, I mean, I think it would, if people were more honest, you know, if people want to buy the project, they will anyway, but they will know otherwise that they don't have to.
If they're not being deceived, eh? I also want your opinion on, like, why it's important that we hear from people with intellectual disabilities on these matters rather than, or as well as interviewing experts and people maybe that support you in the sector.
It's really important because people with intellectual disabilities are almost seen as a hidden voice. You know, you hear Joanne Kerwin coming out about the mental health and things, which is really great, and other people and things, you know, the people in ACC, and you know, it's almost as if people with intellectual disabilities have to be told that they're allowed to make decisions, and they're almost hidden, you know. It's almost as if people think that people can't speak up and make their own decisions.
As someone with an intellectual disability, do you feel represented at the decision-making table?
To a point, but you've almost got to go along to other disability groups to have your say. You know, I think that, you know, things are getting better for people with disabilities, but, you know, intellectual disability, but it's like a journey of 1,000 miles starts with one step, and we're probably on about the third step.
I like the way you put that.
Yes, it's really important that, you know, people come out about, you know, the deceiving of the energy ads and things, you know, the food and drinks. Like, I remember seeing something on Stuff the other week or something about Richie McCaw putting something on, and I think it was on Stuff social media, because he was saying, you know, he was almost asking, you know, some of the media, some of the advertising people are not use the food without consulting them.
So sneaky, eh? So sneaky. Get past the best of us.
There is one thing I would like to say, is that, you know, lots of the views are my own as a person with intellectual disability, as opposed to the IHE. You know, I don't really want that part put in, but, you know, they're just that, you know, that they are the views of David Corner, with a person with an intellectual disability and autism.
That was David Corner, self-advocacy advisor with IHC.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.